Blog Talk Radio.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze, and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong.
Spirit of America, a party book. What have we now, says the fine old woman. You know what that is? That's an Irish song. It's called Four Green Fields. And what have we now, says the fine old woman. And she tells the story of a united Ireland, and now her four green fields is United Ireland, and one of them is in bondage. Well, we got 50 United States, and about 25 of them are in bondage. This country is equally divided. Communists and freedom fighters. Now, I know communist is an outlawed word. Everybody has been taught to purge it from their minds, never recognize it when they see it. But I'm going to give you an example of how subtle communism has swept the land, and we're in big trouble. Under the guise of separation of church and state, this communist government punishes religious communities by robbing them of education tax money. They in turn use the religious tax contributions to promote communistic atheism in schism schools. Religious Americans are then forced into communist schools because their tax money was all they had to educate their children. Having been robbed by a communist government, they cannot afford private schools. Now the communist schools are turning on patriotic Americans. Under many pretenses, they are outlawing the Pledge of Allegiance. So preposterous are the communist excuses. Here is one from Senator John Thune, state of South Dakota. Hey, John, I hope you're paying attention to this and don't sweep it under the rug. After all, you've served your country. How can you let this happen in your glorious state? We don't have time to say the pledge, they tell us. 10 seconds cannot be found. We would have to cut our communist sex ed or anti-American classes by 10 seconds. The Democrat press hides the story. Only Fox Freedom viewers will catch a whiff of treason in season. Don't you hate blanket news with no depth? Headlines like Judge Rules, School Board Rules, and maybe you get one name but no background on the evildoers. Other communist schools are waiting to take their cue from the first assailants of freedom. More will follow if nothing is done. 5 years from now, there will be no pledge. Every day, American lemmings lose another freedom. What's a little freedom? It's so insignificant. Who cares that a president has not fired one incompetent in his cabinet, but relieved and fired 200 combat officers of their God and country duties, including one general and one admiral who rallied to rescue 4 live Americans trapped in Benghazi. One was told to hand the phone to the second in command and was relieved in a phone call as he was getting ready to depart to rescue the boys in Benghazi. That general's name was Ham. And there was an admiral who was bringing the fleet closer to Libya and was told to stand down. He was forced out of office within 3 weeks. His name is a French name. I can't remember it or pronounce it properly. It started with a G. So there we are, 200 combat officers relieved of their duties, their God and country duties. And don't forget General McChrystal, the most combat experienced general in Afghanistan. You can go to YouTube and click on Thank You, General McChrystal, and you will see General McChrystal in action before he was set up and removed. Comrade. Back to the Freedom Crushers in South Dakota. The Communist School Board, that's School Board 49-5, ruled 6-0, not one Nathan Hale in the crowd, to destroy the pledge, not one Sioux warrior in the bunch. In combat, the first thing you learn as a child is know your enemy. As kids, we were taught to identify German and Japanese markings on combat aircraft as well as communist markings on Russian aircraft. Here are names of the school board members who passed the death sentence on Old Glory. These names were taken from a list that goes back a year. So there's more than 6 on here. Some might not be current. But the ones who committed the crime are in this list. Doug Morrison, president and principal. Kent Alberti. Julie Hartman. Julie A. Westra. Deanne Conrad, community relations. Jim Dorman, activities principal. Kate Parker. Darren Davey. Dr. Pamela Howard, superintendent of schools. Todd Vick, business manager. In that list that I gave you are 6 people who were responsible for destroying the Pledge of Allegiance in an American taxpayer school. Some names may not have been present to vote, but we do know all 6 voted no pledge. My guess, the 6 have never served their country, but now they serve it up. A school district with a budget in the millions needs to be looked at more closely to determine if funds are used to promote anti-American propaganda. Their last budget was voted on May the 14th, 2012, and it can be seen on Google. School District 49-5. One of the goals of the Communist Party, written into the congressional record in 1962, was the elimination in the USA of all oaths. In case you have not noticed, so help you God, has already been eliminated from court procedures since the 911 cover-up hearings, the Clinton cover-up hearings of 2001, where they took the hearings and used it as a campaign to elect John Kerry. But you weren't paying attention then, as you're not paying attention now. The only thing that's going to get your attention is your medical bills and your cost of medicines. So every day we lose another freedom. Today it is the freedom to choose your own health care. Once again, American people of religious conscience will be forced to subsidize child murder, drug addiction, which is now taxable, 25%, and soon political discrimination of the sick by age. Sarah Palin's death panels. Yes, there is hope that freedom lives. I have a grandson, age 6, who graduated Catholic preschool and went to the public state-run school. He has a sister who's 4, who is still in Catholic preschool. And one night, she is saying grace before meals, and the boy says to her, "You won't be saying that when you get to my school." And I asked him why, and he replied, "I've been there 89 days and not a single prayer." A week later, concerned about communist indoctrination, I asked him, "Do you say the Pledge of Allegiance in your school?" He proudly sticks out his chest and says, "Yes, we do." I say, "Let me hear it." He speaks, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible." And he pauses to catch his breath, and his sister shouts, "And deliver us from evil, amen." Yet I have another grandson who was going at the time to a Brooklyn state-run school where, when they announced the Pledge of Allegiance on the loudspeaker, some of the kids wouldn't even stand and say the pledge, and others turned their back on the flag during the ceremony. So we're losing our country, friends. And we know when we get down to revolution time, the American Revolution was won by 25% of the population. I hope we still have 25% left when the time comes. Okay, so having said that, I'll give you a tune. And I'll give you my own true love.
Last time.
You know, our president's very generous. He's a very generous president. He gave the entire Middle East to the Muslim Brotherhood. What a fantastic guy. Oh, yeah, Bush was wrong to go to Iraq. You remember that story? Yeah, Bush got us into Iraq. You know what the casualty count in Iraq was? It was a lot. 4,700 died under Bush. Probably 40, 50,000 wounded died under Bush. Every day we were told Bush killed another four men today. Now, I take you back to 9-1-1, the evening of 9-1-1. America is stunned. Children are standing with their mouths open, gaping at the sky. People are hiding. People are changing underwear. Nobody can believe it. The greatest attack on the United States, larger than Pearl Harbor, were the casualties. And Pearl Harbor's casualties were all military, just about. We lost all civilians, 9-1-1, and two buildings. The first time, the greatest defeat in the history of the United States. And somebody said Saddam Hussein has got a nuclear weapon and he's got chemical weapons. And when those people were shouting, don't go into the subways because there might be gas in there, we were thinking about chemical warfare also. And we were checking people with red hands. Remember that? No, because America has a fight back Alzheimer's. We listen to what the communists tell us to listen to. We watch the channels the communists tell us to watch. What are you, a fox nut? Yes, I am. Fox you. Yeah, unbelievable. What a bunch of suckers. Galloping herd of cattle can be stampeded anywhere. Remember the big clouds and people running from the big clouds? Did you see people jumping off the piers on the Hudson River? Because they thought they were going to be burned alive? Did you see all the paper coming down from the buildings? How a piece of paper could land safely, and a guy in a suit was chopped meat when they scooped him up. How sad was that? How terrible and tragic. And the press didn't show you all the people jumping out of the windows. They couldn't show you. It would be too demoralizing. Unbelievable. I had a customer come in. His brother-in-law was a fireman. His sister calls him. John went to the World Trade Center right from on his way to work. He seen it, and he headed right to the World Trade Center. And so he goes, I'm on my way down. So he's heading over to the World Trade Center, and he gets a call from his sister. They just found his helmet. That's all they found was his helmet. He goes, I'll be there in a little while. And that night, as the vapor was rising into the sky, the DNA dust, the Holocaust, the American Holocaust was rising into the sky. He was down there digging for the remains of his brother-in-law. And it was foggy and cloudy. And the vapors were still coming up out of the ground, and it was hot. And all of a sudden, he looked up, and he thought he saw his brother-in-law. And he went, John, is that you? And his brother-in-law answered, Tommy, they're all gone. His entire firehouse got wiped out. Somebody took his helmet. He was the only survivor. Now, you tell me Bush didn't have to go to Iraq. You tell me Bush getting the word that three places in the United States and a fourth plane crashing into Pennsylvania. The United States is under attack. Not a plane in the sky from here to Europe. And Bush didn't have to go to Iraq. Bush had no choice. He had to be the inspector. He had to send in his own team. Who was he going to trust? Mohammed Baradei, the UN inspector, who just ran for the presidency of Iran? who told us that Iran has no nuclear weapons, has no uranium. They're growing flowers over there. All that steam and smoke that's coming out, that's a hamburger joint. You're crazy. You listen to the communists. One day you'll be working in a gulag. And they'll tell you, you haven't mined enough gold. You have to stay here until you get another 20 ounces. You'll find out. You'll find out. If you think what the Nazis did to the Jews was anything, and to the gypsies, and to the Slavs, you have no idea what's waiting on you. So Bush went to Iraq, and he had no choice. And never forget, Chemical Ali killed 5,000 Kurds in Halabja. And if you want to know where the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction are, go to Syria. That's why Obama didn't go to Syria, because he doesn't want to see those Iraqi markings. Yeah, he drew the red line. So no, don't be saying what Bush could do and couldn't do. You're the same people that said his father didn't go far enough and should have went to Baghdad. You're the same people that said Bush went too far. And you're the same people that say my porridge is too hot. And Goldilocks, if she's a Republican, she's a slut. Yeah, we know who you are. We know how you sell. You sell short. That's what you do. You sell this country short. And now everybody's going to pay for it in health care. But the good news is you're going to be allowed to keep your undertaker. Now, I don't know if you ever heard me tell you about the Russian troops that were practicing how to take over the United States in Colorado. Did you know that story? Google it. Google it. Russian troops in Colorado. And you know the Chinese have bought a city outside of Boise, Idaho. Did you know that? They're building a Chinese-only city. No, you don't know that either. But I'll bet you can tell me who won the Mambo contest on Dancing with the Porn Stars. Yeah, unbelievable, man. You're losing your country. You're gonna be a POW one day. The Communist People's Republic of China was invited to take part in a massive drill dubbed GridX 2. That took place on November the 12th to 14th, 2013. The drill simulated the detonation of a massive nuclear warhead high above the skies of the United States, creating a giant EMP, electromagnetic impulse, that took out the entire U.S. electrical grid, communications, banking services, all computers, simulating a helpless America completely dependent on its all-wise government. You know that government that they had a two-week shutdown, and Obama punished the country by not letting little children visit the White House and not letting veterans say goodbye to their buddies at memorials for the last time? Obama really punished us, didn't he? Did he punish us at Benghazi also? According to a declassified but heavily redacted intelligence, you know what that means, right? The magic mark is through everything. Intelligence documents released in 2011, the Chinese were reportedly working on a super electromagnet pulse bomb. You know what I would announce as president as soon as I take office? The reintroduction of the neutron bomb in warfare. You know what the neutron bomb is? It takes out people, but it leaves whole cities intact. And don't think the Chinese aren't thinking about that. They got a lot of people that they need housing for. China is gearing, and they probably are working on a neutron bomb. China, but we're not. We're going to wait. We're going to recover from the first hit and win the war. China is gearing up for the war against the United States, and their top weapon is a super electromagnetic pulse bomb that can blanket the U.S. and send America back to the Dark Ages in less than 1 second. And no doubt the Chinese have perfected this EMP bomb by now. We're watching Iran, but who's watching China? Who's watching Russia? So exactly why the Chinese are involved in a drill of this nature is unclear. So that we invited them in. So see how it'll work. Once you drop the bomb on us, you can see how the effect will be. And you'll see how strong we are and that we can fight back. We can fight back like crazy. So exactly why are the Chinese involved in a drill of this nature? The only logical explanation, as crazy as it sounds, is that the Communist, the Department of Homeland Security, Obama's civilian national security force, the entity overseeing this drill, is secretly working with the Communist Chinese government, which is not surprising given that Barack Hussein has long been suspected of being an ardent communist. I give you a tune, and I'll play this tune. If you go to YouTube, you can click on Sarah Palin, One of a Kind. You're really gonna revel in this one. This is news from 4 days ago. Washington, several prominent media sources in Egypt are now reporting that Egyptian lawyers have filed criminal terrorism charges in the International Criminal Court against President Obama. In addition to the criminal terrorism charges previously filed in Egyptian courts against the president's half-brother, Malik Obama. Malik Obama is quickly becoming a person of interest for his alleged management of funds for a terrorist organization based in neighboring Sudan. A group of Egyptian lawyers, meanwhile, have charged President Obama with crimes against humanity for his support of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. The charges come as a criminal trial against Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi is scheduled to begin in Egypt in January. Morsi facing charges that he supported the Muslim Brotherhood in acts of violence directed against the Egyptian people. President Obama is likely to be subject in Morsi's criminal trial because of evidence that the Obama administration used the U.S. Embassy in Cairo to provide direct financial support to key Muslim Brotherhood political operatives, with the full knowledge and complicity of the Morsi government, as WorldNet Daily was first to report in August. So the criminal complaints are filed at ICC. The Egyptian newspaper El Watan has reported a group of Egyptian lawyers have submitted a complaint to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, charging Obama with backing the group that incited widespread violence in Egypt, both before and after what is known in Egypt as the June 30th Revolution. Remember the CNN Arabs? Oh, it's an Arab Spring. And then the two CNN reporters, one got raped and the other escaped. Yeah. Oh, it's the Arab Spring. It's the people rising up. Everybody's having a good time. We all have cell phones. We got Obama phone. Yeah. What we need is Rosetta Stone. Never mind Obama phone. Everybody speak English. The Egyptian army coup d'etat removed Morsi from the presidency in July the 3rd. Now, if the Egyptian army did that, they had good reason to do that. Okay? As first reported by CBN News, the complaint names several top-ranking Muslim Brotherhood leaders, beginning with the head of the organization, Muhammad Badi, as well as Muhammad al-Baytagagi, Essam el-Erian, and Safwat Haghazi. The complaint charges that Obama coordinated, incited, and assisted the armed elements of the Muslim Brotherhood in the commission of crimes against humanity in the period from March the 7th through August the 18th in Egypt. The complaint specifies the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt persecuted the country's Christian minority, including the torching, destruction, and plundering of some 85 Christian churches. Some of those churches have been there since the time of Jesus. The regime also scapegoated the Christian cops in Egypt for their support of the June 30th revolution and the removal of Morsi from the presidency, the complaint asserts. Why are cops allowed to live in a Muslim country? Why are Christian cops allowed all these years, from 700 on, to live in Egypt? Because they supported the Prophet Muhammad over the objections of the Pope. And as a payback, Muhammad promised them safety for them and theirs. And so you can see that Muslims do not keep their word, not even when it's given by their Prophet. The complaint alleges Muslim Brotherhood incitement against the cops, resulting in the murder of a 10-year-old girl who was shot and killed as she walked back from Bible class, the murder of a young Coptic priest who was shot in front of his church in the Egyptian Sinai, with his body found mutilated and beheaded, and the murder of two girls aged 8 and 12. They love to murder the girls, these guys, who were riddled with bullets as they attended a church wedding. I recall reading a story of a father of a bride-to-be who was going to marry a Christian man, and a Muslim kidnapped her and raped her and kept her as a slave. And when the father went and just begged the police to get his daughter back, they laughed at him. How would you like to go to a police station and be laughed at? Oh, they can't do that. It's against my rights. Yeah. The complaint further alleges that since the Muslim Brotherhood denounced the cops, entire towns and villages have been emptied of Christians. More than 100 Christian families, for example, have been driven from the north of Sinai city of El Arish. Muslim Brotherhood supporters are accused of extorting cops by making them pay tribute money to Islamic overlords, while those unwilling to pay were attacked, with their wives and children being beaten or kidnapped. You have no idea who were raised against us, my liberal friends. And you want to know something? You will be the first to die. They will use you, and then they will kill you. Muslim Brotherhood supporters, okay. In a YouTube video, CBN News contributor Raymond Ibrahim reported from Egypt details of alleged atrocities committed by Muslim Brotherhood members against Christians in Egypt. Former PLO member and native Arabic speaker Walid Shubat reported on his website that Yom 7 television in Egypt has now confirmed Ahmed Nabil Ganzouri, in his capacity as a lawyer and agent for Sadiq Rauf Ibait, a physician residing in the United States and an officer of the Egyptian Air Force, filed a criminal complaint against Malik Obama with Egyptian Attorney General Hisham Barakat. WND reported in, that's World News Daily, reported in September that the complaint called for Malik Obama to be placed on Egypt's terror watch list because of his involvement as an owner and investment advisor for the Sudan-based Dawah Organization, or IDO, and the organization's umbrella group, the Muslim Brotherhood. You know that Zawahiri, who is now the leader of Al-Qaeda, was trained in the Soviet Union. You know that, right? The following is a direct translation from Yom 7. Dr. Ahmed Nabil Ganzouri, in his capacity as lawyer and agent for Dr. Sadiq Rauf Abaid and resident in the United States of America, filed a complaint with Egypt's Attorney General Hisham Barakat against Malik Obama, accusing him of supporting terrorism in Egypt. The complaint also asks to include Chancellor Tahani al-Gabali to substantiate claims against Obama. So Malik Obama is in trouble, but you know what? I read another piece, and our president, when he was senator, campaigned for, I forget which one, I got to dig that one out, but he was in Kenya campaigning for his half-brother, and he donated $1 million to the campaign. Very sad, very sad. So the Egyptians are looking for an Obama. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't give up. We don't let Americans be tried in The Hague, although Obama wanted to, but maybe now he'll change his mind. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, so let me give you a tune. That wasn't the one I was looking for. There's another one that's even blows your mind. Well, you know what? I'll look for it while I give you a tune. So hang in there, and it's tune time, everybody.
Blog and Talk Radio. We go to the studio. Studio. No, that's a holy one. We don't want to sing any holy tunes here tonight. We'll give you a little rainy song. As reported by prominent Egyptian newspaper Al-Wafed, another complaint was filed with Barakat against Malik Obama, this one by Sami Sabri. The complaint, however, includes identifying President Barack Obama as the conduit who facilitated Malik's illegal financial gains resulting from raising monies in the U.S., that had been used to fund operations that support a terror network. The report stated that the complaint realizes that it will not result in bringing President Obama to face justice, but it will present the Egyptian people with the facts about the atrocities committed by the Muslim Brotherhood and how the Barack Obama administration has acted as the group's facilitator and protector. On August the 23rd, 2013, Al-Wafd reported on another complaint which asked to place Malik Obama on Egypt's terror watch list and that the president's half-brother be prohibited from ever entering Egypt. The prosecutor general in Egypt, Hisham Abarakat, is that country's equivalent to the attorney general in the USA, currently held by Eric, the murderer of 50,000 Mexicans, Holder. That appears to be where the similarities end. Barakat's brief history as a top law enforcement officer includes a swift and severe crackdown on Muslim Brotherhood, while Holder's Department of Justice has consistently run interference for the group. Terrorism expert Steve Emerson, as you see him a lot on Fox and talk shows, he's got red hair and he's pretty savvy. Took it a bit further, saying that Holder is in bed with the group. Holder needs to be impeached. He is a threat to American freedom. Another difference is that these recent complaints, and it would be a good practice in case we have to impeach this president too, are all over the Egyptian media, while any news critical of the Brotherhood in the U.S. is suppressed by a very sympathetic media. When we learned via Gateway Pundit that Al Jazeera posted two tweets by Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Institute, their Doha Center in Qatar, it didn't make sense. One of the tweets referenced an Egyptian newspaper which included a headline that identified Barack Obama as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The other tweet included an image of Al Wafid article with a reference which appears to be Sa'ad al-Shatter, the son of Muslim Brotherhood deputy Khairat al-Shatter, who reportedly suggested that his father has documents that will seriously damage the U.S. president. We wrote about this last month and identified it as Addendum F in our ironclad report, which has been bolstered with time. Additional reporting by Fox and AP and quite likely Hamid's protestations via a Twitter. And here's what Shadi Hamid says. Newspaper also claims that son of MB, Muslim Brotherhood leader, threatened Obama with release of papers, and then there's a picture of the paper in Arabic writing and a picture of Obama. Why did pro-Muslim Brotherhood writer tweet article damaging to the Obamas? A quick perusal of Hamid's writings reveals a very pro-Muslim Brotherhood viewpoint. Here is an interview with him on CNN this past July in which he bemoans the plight of the Brotherhood in Egypt and seems to be more in line with the Obama administration's position. As an aside, during a trip to Egypt last month, Deputy Secretary of State Bill Burns seemed to take more interest in the elder al-Shatter than any other Brotherhood leader. Burns met with al-Shatter for 90 minutes under the cover of darkness in an attempt to work out a solution between the Brotherhood and the new Egyptian government. According to ABC News, attempts were made to downplay the content, duration, and significance of the meeting by a Brotherhood statesman. Oh, by the way, today John Kerry told Israel that the international community will protect them. Is that the international community that gave Hitler 10 minutes to take over their country? Yeah. Did this meeting include any discussion about what al-Shatter might have on Obama? This was the same week that Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham went to Egypt to plead for the release of Muslim Brotherhood leaders as well. So there's McCain and Lindsey Graham. They got to go. McCain should retire and open up a Ted Kennedy souvenir shop. And Lindsey Graham, he should go back to farming. Yeah, that same ABC article reports he should grow corn. The same ABC article reports McCain and Graham were dispatched by Obama. So there's two Republican flunkies working for the man. Yeah. Essentially as emissaries instead of doing so on their own. Yeah, two little lapdogs. Yeah. Hansel and Gretel. Okay, so what else we got here? As we reported, Hamid was listed as a participant in the U.S. Islamic World Forum that took place in Doha, Qatar this past June. I know that a lot of this is boring you. I'm trying to find the gravy. Shockingly, now here's the one that gets me, Thomas Pickering, the chairman of the Benghazi Accountability Review Board. There's no bodies here. That found no one accountable for security lapses. What a piece of crap this guy is. He should be put up against the wall. He should be put up against the wall and people should throw hot spaghetti at him. That led to the deaths of four Americans was also listed, here he is, he's dirty, as a participant at the USIWF. Yeah, he's dirty. Regardless of what specific gaggle of terrorists is found responsible for the Benghazi attack, the Muslim Brotherhood was responsible as the parent group. Wasn't that all about a video that some guy made and five dancing girls and a bag of sand? Yeah, and they said that he's the one that caused the uprising. Had nothing to do with the anniversary of September 11th. No, because September 11th was nothing. It was a movie. That was nothing. That never happened. For more about attendees at the U.S. IWF, we direct you to Addendum A of our Ironclad report. So let me see here. We'll see what else we got here. Oh, it may well be an indication of just how prominent the news is in Egypt and the Middle East. The left always prefers to ignore evidence that will expose it. I've often said that. You never look at where they're pointing. Look at what they're pointing, you taking you away, your focus away from. When scandals become too big to ignore, smear tactics, spin, and diversions become necessary. We are living in a communist country, my friends. There are more communists in the United States than there are in the new improved Soviet Union. All one has to do to confirm this is to look at the Western media. Examples abound. Fast and Furious. You know how many Mexicans died in Fast and Furious? Between 50,000 and 70,000. There were rooms full of torsos, rooms full of arms, rooms full of legs, heads on the street corners. Those people were all shot by 2,200 weapons smuggled into the narco-terrorists by Eric Holder and his gang and his Muslim Brotherhood. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS scandal. These scandals are dismissed and ignored. And there was approval for Malik Obama to raise money in the United States, and it was signed by the woman who took the Fifth Amendment and said, "You can't touch me. You can't touch this. I'm MC Hammer." Yeah, can't touch this. Fifth Amendment. Fifth Amendment. Perhaps a case in point is the Acorn scandal of 2009, when undercover video by James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles revealed a shocking reality that could no longer be ignored, though not for lack of trying. During a radio interview at the height of these revelations being made known, ABC's Charlie Gibson actually said, I don't even know about it. This perfectly illustrated a time when denials are so blatant, obvious, that they become more damning than admissions. Sorry, Charlie, you should have been fired for either being a lying or incompetent. Okay, so where else we got? We got all kinds of crap here. Oh, here's the coincidentally, something else happened on May the 10th. Gregory Hicks testified in front of the House Oversight Committee. I guess he blew the whistle. Yeah. And something else happened on May the 10th. The IRS scandal was born when Lois Lerner, director of the entity's tax-exempt division and Al-Qaeda plant, yeah, the Muslim Sisterhood, was found to have planted a question that would be asked of her at a meeting on the next day. The question had to do with the IRS targeting Tea Party groups. The IRS scandal diverted attention away from Benghazi at a very critical time for the administration. Representative Michelle Bachmann, oh, they went after her, didn't they? Huh? Well, she got 27 kids. They called her a trollop. Yeah, went so far. That's a typical Democrat tactic. First thing they do. If it's a good woman, they label her a whore. First thing, 50% of the people believe it right off the bat. Then she tries to prove her innocence, and maybe she'll get the 30% on her side. But all that people will remember is she's a whore, because that's the label that sticks. Representative Michelle Bachmann went so far as to suggest that this was done intentionally to divert attention away from a Benghazi scandal that could no longer be spun. That Benghazi issue is not over, not by a long shot. And you know what bothers me? You know what really bugs me? It's the headlines underneath the headlines. You know, you're looking at the presentation on the TV, and along the bottom comes this fast little message. And the fast little message that sticks in my mind is a third survivor or the only survivor of the Benghazi massacre, laid on a rooftop for 20 hours, is now under house arrest and gets lie detector tests every day. And that message was gone. And I said to him, and they were transferring him to different hospitals and changing his name. What's going to happen when we find out that he's alive? Or are they transferring him to hospitals that have a high rate of staph infections? Yeah. So let me see what it says here. Oh, Malik, it is, if this is true, it was a gross miscalculation. Not just because the IRS scandal seemed to resonate with more Americans, but because, you know what resonates with Americans? Money out of their pocket. If you can tie money out of their pocket with any scandal, they will pay attention to it. But because this scandal actually helped us discover Malik Obama's connection to the Islamic Dawah organization, in fact, Malik received expeditional and illegal 501c3 tax-exempt status. And you guessed it, signed by Lois Lerner. They got a copy of her electronic signature, or signature, it could be a signature. And it was her signature at the bottom of Malik Obama's tax-exempt approval letter. Tax-exempt, imagine that. He gets a tax exemption for buying machine gun bullets to gun down Christians in prayer. Oh, my friends. And he got a picture of Malik sitting in the Oval Office. He's got on his half a dish dasher and a hat. And he's sitting with his half-brother, Parumba. You want to hear what people said about it? Every single association of the President of the United States is either Muslim, radical socialist, a communist, Van Jones, a former domestic terrorist, a Black Panther, a union thug. His past has been hidden and cloaked in mystery and deception. You know, my school closed many years ago, but I'll bet you can find my high school records. I bet you can find out what I got on a biology test in 1956. Yeah, but we can't see Harvard boys' records. We can't see a Columbia boys' records. We can't see Occidental College boys' records. They're sealed. Why don't you send them up to the Privilofs? Yeah. Why don't you send them up there with the seals? Why wasn't this man vetted? Why wasn't he vetted? You know that the United States has been infiltrated by communist agents since the 30s, and the State Department is heavily infiltrated, was heavily infiltrated, and probably still is. It's just my guess. Columbia University has been graduating KGB agents since the 30s, and I'm sure they're still doing it. When Ray Kelly can't make a speech in Brown University because the communists say he's not allowed to speak, you know you lost your First Amendment rights a long time ago. So, what have we done? Somehow we have turned over the most powerful position in the world to this horrible man, and see what he is doing to us. He needs to be stopped and jailed before it is too late to save our republic. People can't believe that. They won't believe it. They didn't believe it when the two towers came down. Oh, no, that didn't happen. That right in front of my eyes. No, I didn't believe it. I thought they were behind the cloud, cleared. They were going to still be standing. But we're all naive, my friends. We refuse to believe. George Patton says, we think the world loves us. Yeah. The problem is we are not just fighting the administration. We're also fighting a corrupt press that covers for him. They should all be put in jail. Failure to protect the United States of America. Look, like, I want to see subpoenas. I want to see arrest warrants. Here's from Abia. Looks like the best description of Barack Hussein Obama is closet jihadist. He will not rest until he lights the fires of World War III. Okay, let's see. I keep waiting for an Obama World War III and Chamberlain blog on MM Howdy, whatever that means. So that's a little information to make your day in case you want to feel safe. Yeah. Waleed Shubat, former Muslim Brotherhood member, now peace activist. He's a pretty savvy guy. We need more people like him and Bridget Gabriel. And I'm sure that there are, I remember being in Kuwait and my Kuwaiti partner saying to me, Mr. Tom, you know, a lot of Muslims that pretend to be religious are hypocrites. And I said, just like my religion. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, Ted Kennedy, huh? The big joke is you're a Kennedy Catholic? Yeah. All of them got caught putting ashes on their foreheads to look good for the press on Ash Wednesday. Yeah. And Savage used to make fun of the Clintons carrying the biggest Bible in the world. He called it their press Bible. God help us, man. We're in trouble. We are so helpless, you have no idea. They're loading us up with drugs. Okay, we're going to play the Gypsy. You know what the Gypsy is? It's a song about a man who's been betrayed.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you only believe the Gypsy. She can tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. My lover was always true, and yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. My lover is true and will come back to me someday.
Watching O'Reilly, he's rewriting the Bible. Yeah, he's got killing Kennedy, killing Lincoln, and killing Jesus. And if he keeps it up, I'm going to write a book called Killing O'Reilly. First off, he comes off with Jesus never forgave the good thief because he didn't have enough volume in his voice. He was suffocating. So he never could have said the words, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So O'Reilly proved that to be false, you know, with all his scientific convictions. And And then he said that the Holy Family never made the Hegira to Egypt because there were no buses. And I had to check with the Coptic Christians to see what their version of the story was. And their version of the story is that that the Holy Family joined the caravan that left Israel and crossed the Sinai and went into Egypt. And not only that, but along the way, certain miracles took place and churches sprung up in about four different locations. And the Holy Family was persecuted even in Egypt. They had to move from one town to another town. So O'Reilly, I joke, I say he also found the bones of Mohammed outside a Nazareth disco. They dug up a yellow cab, and the hack license said Mohammed. But then he came out, and what was I know what it was, that the Jews didn't kill Jesus, the Romans did, I had to do some homework on it. This guy's making me do homework. And I looked up, do you know how many people are in a Roman legion? 6,000. Do you know how many people are in a cohort? 600. 10 cohorts make a legion, okay? And then a century is 100, and the head of a century of troops is a centurion, okay? And you remember the centurion that said, Lord, you know, only say the word and my daughter will be healed. So why am I saying that? Because I didn't know how many were in a legion, and I looked it up. And it just so happened when I looked it up, a reference in the makeup of the Roman military included Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, upon entering Jerusalem, created a riot when he first arrived, created a riot because the Hebrews were incensed because in a Roman standard, there's a gold eagle and a picture of the emperor. And the Hebrews took that to mean, and the Romans worshipped the emperor as a god. So the Hebrews got totally bent out of shape because there is only one god. And that's their God. So to appease the Hebrews, Pontius Pilate had the pictures of the emperor removed and the standards removed so as not to provoke the crowd, okay, provoke the people of the town of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. So, yeah, Pontius Pilate killed Jesus. But, you see, he tried to get out of doing it. But he had to, it's the old political game. The politicians win all the time. So I just wanted to mention that because I'll never get a chance to tell it to O'Reilly. And having said that, I thought I would, and Fox is the most truthful channel we have. All the rest are, they're liars like the president. President liar. And that guy, Joe Miller, they were debating tonight on the 5. Joe Miller never should have called the president a liar. And you know what he called him a liar about? The health care plan. So it was the only truthful man. Who is the Greek that has a lantern and was looking for one truthful man? Remember that? You ever hear that story? He was walking through the world looking for a truthful man. With a lantern. I don't. Anybody that studied Greek mythology knows. But why did I say that? Because Joe Miller was the only guy that told the truth. All the rest went along with the lie. So I said, "Foxed them." That's what we're going to do. And today I claimed the buzzword. As of today, I claim the origination of my buzzword, Foxum. and also Fox U. And hey, Ed Schultz, go Fox yourself. There's a guy that's nasty. That guy could get Hitler elected. That guy should be in a brown shirt uniform, and he should have his little hat and a Steiner beer. He could get Hitler reelected. So claiming a Fox U and Fox them and go Fox yourself, I wonder how many lawyers are scrambling right now. And I told you about the communists invading South Dakota. The school does not have 10 seconds to spare to say the pledge. And there are communist schools in Brooklyn where students won't stand to say the pledge and some turn their back on the flag. This is not an isolated incident. This is part of the new communist movement. And you better learn to say the word communist or be subdued. So I'm going to give you four YouTube locations. YouTube, I pledge to thee, boycott NBC. YouTube, American Crossroads. YouTube, this is where we're going to meet, YouTube, in the underground. I'll be broadcasting like Radio Free Europe to the French. The rose is off the bloom. Yeah. YouTube, Flag Burners of Record. You got to see that one. It's a rat review. You got to see it, man. And you know who's in there? Anthony the Weasel Wiener and Chuck Schumer, his boss. Flag Burners of Record, and you will break your heart when you see the guy that's doing reverse mortgages to old people. And he is considered the conservative candidate for president. He was considered. That's Fred Thompson? Is that his name? But the best one that's in there is Match McConnell. Here he is. He's the spokesman. Did you hear me saying earlier that McCain and Lindsey Graham were dispatched by Obama? Huh? They're working for Obama, and they make him believe they're working for the Republican Party. Yeah. So, welcome to the Spirit of America Party radio show. And that school board that voted 6-0 to get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance should be taken to the closest military cemetery and made to spend 10 seconds saying I'm sorry at each grave. I'd like to hear from the students' family. How much time for communist sex ed? Go get them, Stossel. Fox them. Now, impeach Eric Holder for Mexican murders. It wasn't only one American border guard. It was also 50,000 Mexicans. There is a girl, a beautiful girl, or there was a girl, a beautiful girl. Her name was Maria Santos Gorostieta. Her husband was the mayor of a small town. They stood against the narco-communists, the terrorists. And her husband was executed in front of her eyes, and she was shot and survived. So you know what she did? Did she grab her child and leave town, which probably would have been the smart thing to do? No, she had too much fight in her, and she ran for the mayor's job, and she got it. And she stood against them, and one day, when she was taking her daughter to school, they stopped her car and they shot her, and she said her last words were, please don't hurt my daughter. And they mutilated her body. And that's what's going on, thanks to Eric Holder, because 2,200 weapons. I'm sure if they did a ballistics match on Maria Santos Gorostieta, they would find Eric Holder's bullets there. But you're never going to see that because we live in cover-up country. We can't even protect our gals. There's people stealing them all day long.
Somebody stole my gal. Somebody stole my bow. 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 Somebody stole my gal. Somebody Somebody came and took her away. She didn't even say she was leaving. Her kisses are missed though. He's getting them, I know. Oh, gee, I know that she would come to me if she could see that her broken heart is lonesome pal. Somebody stole my gal.
Okay, that's our show for tonight. And until we meet again, may God keep you safe. Oh, I got to give a shout out to the Gideons. Hey, boys, you're back in town. I was at the Tropicana Hotel losing money, and I went to turn on my TV, and a Gideon Bible jumped up and smacked me in the face. And I know that there's been a war against Bibles in hotels, but it was good to see the Gideon Bible. God bless the Gideons. God bless them, boy. They work for nothing. They work only for heavenly rewards. And they got a Bible into my hotel room. So when we were leaving, my wife put it in front of the TV so the next family in would see it, if just in case they didn't go in the drawer. So thank you, Gideons. You made my day. And I'm sure I could have read a passage on Thou Shalt Not Gamble, right? And I would have saved $60. Have a nice night, folks.